Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air, the Attorney General speaking for the first time on the search of former President Trump's home. The Attorney General Merrick Garland revealing he is moving to unseal the warrant to reveal to the American people more about what they were looking for. The AG saying he personally approved the decision to search Mar-a-Lago, that the decision was not made lightly, indicating they tried other routes before the search. And now tonight, the judge giving Trump's legal team until tomorrow to respond. So will the former president allow the American people to see the warrant, to learn more about what the FBI was looking for? Jonathan Karl standing by with new reporting, and Dan Abrams tonight on something else we learned today, the key move on all of this months ago. Also breaking at this hour, law enforcement closely watching a tense scene all day. A shooter trying to breach an FBI office in Cincinnati. The suspect allegedly armed with an AR-15 style weapon and wearing body armor. A gun battle erupting, the chase, and tonight what authorities have just revealed moments ago. Trevor Ault on the scene for us. The horrific aftermath after the house explosion in Indiana. The new images tonight, at least three people killed. 39 nearby homes damaged, many of them destroyed. The war in Ukraine tonight and the very alarming development, the shelling at Europe's largest nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Smoke now seen rising from the site. The historic heat wave across Europe, and tonight the emergency unfolding now in France. 10,000 people forced to evacuate. The horrific fires, 60% of Europe having dealt with this heat and in a drought now. Ginger Z is there tonight. This evening, nearly 1 year after that chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, our chief foreign correspondent Ian Pannell back on the ground there and what he has already seen. Back here at home, new developments in the search for that missing 16-year-old girl vanishing near Lake Tahoe, what we've learned. And tonight, news for parents on COVID and going back to school. What the CDC changed today. Also, the roller coaster crash, the images coming in, multiple injuries. And America's strong tonight, the NBA retiring a legendary player's number and where you'll see that number going forward.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Thursday night. We begin tonight with two breaking stories, the armed standoff after a man with an AR-15-style rifle showed up at the FBI office in Cincinnati. The deadly end of this, authorities speaking moments ago. And, of course, the other major story tonight, the Attorney General before the American people today for the first time speaking about the unprecedented search at former President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. Tonight, the AG saying he personally approved the search, that the decision wasn't made lightly, indicating they tried other routes. And the AG saying he is now moving to unseal the search warrant for that search to reveal to the American people more about what the FBI was looking for. With so many Republicans and supporters of former President Trump demanding to know more, tonight it is now up to former President Trump to decide whether that warrant will be revealed. A judge today giving Trump's legal team until 3 p.m. tomorrow to indicate where they stand on this. The Attorney General saying he is making this move to unseal the warrant because the former president was the one who publicly revealed the search Monday night. And the Attorney General saying the warrant should be unsealed because of what he called the, quote, substantial public interest in this matter. He also revealed today that that search warrant was already given to the former president's legal team, also given to the former president what's called the FBI property receipt, the list of items taken. So he has the ability to answer many of these questions from his own supporters. And tonight here, ABC News confirming the former president received a subpoena for all of this in the spring for these documents, some believed to be classified. So we now learn there's a good chance that all of this could have been avoided. Tonight, the Attorney General also addressing the growing threats against the FBI and the Justice Department, saying, I will not stand by silently when their integrity is being unfairly attacked. And look at this. As he said that, this was the scene in Cincinnati, Ohio today, where an armed man with an AR-15-style rifle showed up at the FBI office, a chase, shots fired, an armed standoff. Tonight, we have just learned the suspect is now dead, his motive unclear. But it was all very concerning given the events of this week. And we begin tonight with the Attorney General and our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Karl.
Under intense pressure to explain the FBI's search of Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago property, Attorney General Merrick Garland did something he almost never does. He commented on an ongoing investigation, saying he himself signed off on the FBI's action.
First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly. Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken.
In fact, ABC News has learned Trump was subpoenaed for the documents earlier this year as DOJ attempted to get him to turn them over without a search warrant. The subpoena was followed by a visit of a smaller contingent of FBI agents to Mar-a-Lago in early June. The raid on Monday came only after DOJ concluded Trump had not turned over everything demanded by the subpoena. Garland said he was only confirming the FBI search because former President Trump had revealed what had happened. Moments before Garland spoke, the Justice Department filed a court motion citing, quote, the public's clear and powerful interest in understanding what occurred, and asking the judge to unseal and to make public two key documents, the search warrant and the so-called receipt listing the items taken by federal agents.
The department filed the motion to make public the warrant and receipt in light of the former president's public confirmation of the search, the surrounding circumstances, and the substantial public interest in this matter.
The DOJ filing was signed by the chief of the counterintelligence section of the DOJ National Security Division, suggesting the investigation is related to classified information with national security implications. Garland also addressed attacks on the FBI, some of which have come from prominent Republicans who have accused federal agents of going after Trump for political reasons.
I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked. The men and women of the FBI and the Justice Department are dedicated, patriotic public servants. Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights. They do so at great personal sacrifice and risk to themselves.
The judge in the case responded quickly to the filing, giving Donald Trump until 3 p.m. tomorrow to reveal whether or not he is going to agree to make the warrant public or fight to keep it secret.
Quite a turn here. Let's get right back to John Carl tonight. John, as you reported, the attorney general making it clear today that copies of both the warrant and the FBI property receipt, the general list of items taken, were already provided to former President Trump's lawyer who was on site during the search. Which means many of these questions from the former president's supporters and from many Republicans all week long could, in theory, be answered by the former president.
Absolutely, David. Now, that list of items taken would be a redacted list because obviously we're talking about classified information here. But Trump does, his lawyer was given a copy of the affidavit and the supporting documents, at least some of the supporting documents. And he doesn't need to wait for a judge to unseal that. Trump could release all of that right now. But here's what I'm learning tonight. I'm learning that the Trump team has reached out to defense lawyers to talk about possibly fighting DOJ's motion to unseal those documents. Doesn't mean a decision's been made by Trump yet, but they're already reaching out to lawyers who they would ask to file a motion challenging DOJ's motion to unseal those documents.
All right, John Carl leading us off. We're going to pick up on that very point, John. Thank you. Let's get to our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams, tonight. John, talking about that reporting from our Catherine Falders just moments ago, saying people close to Trump are discussing the possibility of now challenging this motion to unseal. So you've got Merrick Garland now, the attorney general, saying, show the American people. You've got Donald Trump supporters this week, many Republicans saying you've got to answer some of these questions. And now it sounds as though they're at least considering Donald Trump's legal team blocking this.
And that decision from Donald Trump's legal team is critical here. If they decide to fight it, I think in the end a judge may say, I'm not going to unseal it. But if they say we're not going to fight it, I think it's very likely that the judge would release this. It could become a sort of intersection of politics meets the law for former President Trump.
No question, very tricky, though, to demand answers all week, and then the answers are now available, and then to block it.
Yep, absolutely. But he's been able to release this himself all along. So now you have the attorney general kind of forcing his hand.
One other quick question before we go, Dan. We learned today from our team, they've confirmed the reporting that a subpoena was actually issued for these documents last spring. So could all of this have been avoided?
That could be more important news than Merrick Garland's statement, because that could explain why the Department of Justice felt the need to go in there with a criminal search warrant. You heard today the attorney general talk about how they typically try and use less intrusive means. Well, maybe this is the explanation for why they had to use these more intrusive means, that because they tried to subpoena, they tried to get the documents, and they didn't get them.
All right. Well, it's only Thursday. We have tomorrow. I'll see you then. Thank you. Dan Abrams and John Carl tonight. Our thanks to you both. As I mentioned off the top tonight, all of this, of course, playing out as law enforcement was involved in that tense standoff in Ohio. A standoff, an armed man showing up at the FBI office in Cincinnati, allegedly armed with an AR-15-style weapon and wearing body armor. Here are the pictures. Then fled when confronted by agents leading them in a chase, a gun battle then erupting. The suspect, believed to be wounded for a time, pinned down in a cornfield, roads shut down. People actually ordered to lock their doors in the area. Well, authorities just moments ago revealing the suspect is dead. ABC's Trevor Ulp on the scene in Cincinnati.
Tonight, a dramatic, hours-long armed shootout and standoff in Ohio after an attempted break-in at an FBI field office. Authorities say just after 9 this morning, a man dressed in body armor with an AR-15 and a nail gun tried to breach the visitor screening facility.
He was armed. He was unsuccessful and he fled that area.
The suspect fleeing 60 miles down a highway in a white Crown Victoria.
They're following a car for the FBI, so there are about 7 units, I believe, on the car.
Officers trying to stop him when the suspect opens fire from his vehicle. The suspect then pinned down in a cornfield, authorities urging residents to shelter inside. Then late this afternoon, officials announcing the standoff was over and the suspect is dead.
Once the vehicle came to a stop, gunfire was exchanged between officers on scene and the suspect.
The FBI was already on high alert. Senior law enforcement officials telling ABC News there's been a notable uptick in threats against agents since the raid at Mar-a-Lago. The chaos coming just 24 hours after FBI Director Christopher Wray was asked if he was worried about violence given the search and what we saw on January 6th.
Violence against law enforcement is not the answer, no matter what anybody's upset about or who they're upset with.
And David, we just heard from authorities moments ago. They say they tried to negotiate with this suspect, but ultimately he drew his weapon and they shot and killed him. And ABC News has just confirmed from multiple sources moments ago the identity of this suspect is 42-year-old Ricky Schiffer. So we know his name, but his motive remains unclear. David.
And that, of course, a key question here. Trevor Ulp tonight. Trevor, thank you. We turn next tonight to the horrific aftermath after that home explosion in Indiana, the blast killing at least 3 people, damaging more than 36 homes, many of them tonight now completely destroyed. Here's ABC's Alex Perez.
The jarring blast felt blocks away, and tonight investigators in Evansville, Indiana, working to figure out what triggered this deadly home explosion. Seth Phillips was in his own house nearby and says it felt like an earthquake.
We just hear a crazy boom and our whole house shakes, and so we immediately ran outside.
New doorbell video tonight capturing the chaos on Wednesday. The force of the explosion ripping apart this front porch, smoke filling the space where that house once stood.
We're searching for victims. We have one out front on the front porch.
3 people killed, 2 at the blast site, a 3rd in a neighboring home, a 4th person hospitalized. Tonight, the damage to the neighborhood extensive.
39 homes were damaged to varying degrees. 11 homes are uninhabitable.
The cause remains under investigation, but tonight the local energy company says they had no outstanding calls to the home that exploded.
Our thorough leak surveys are coming back with no indications of natural gas being detected on the outside of the structure.
And David, authorities say thankfully everyone has been accounted for. They say it could be several days before they're able to pinpoint an exact cause of the explosion. David?
Just incredible pictures. All right, Alex, thank you. We turn now to the war in Ukraine. Nuclear concerns growing tonight with new shelling near the largest nuclear power plant in Europe inside Ukraine. In fact, tonight, the UN chief now calling for an end to all military activity nearby, warning the situation is deteriorating rapidly. ABC's Britt Clennett in Ukraine tonight.
Tonight, dangerous attacks escalating at Europe's largest nuclear plant in Zaporizhia. Smoke seen rising over the facility in videos circulating online. Ukraine's nuclear agency saying 5 rockets struck the Russian-held site, landing close to a power unit and an area storing radioactive waste. Both Ukraine and Russia are again blaming each other for the attacks. The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency warning tonight the situation at the plant is rapidly deteriorating.
Any military action jeopardizing nuclear safety, nuclear security, must stop immediately.
The agency pleading for an expert mission to be allowed to inspect the site. Russia is using the plant as a military base, but Ukrainian staff are still working there under Russian supervisors. David, Ukraine says several radiation centres have been damaged by the shelling, but for now the levels at the plant are safe. David.
Britt Clinett inside Ukraine for us again tonight. Britt, thank you. We turn now to our continued reporting here on the climate crisis, both here in the U.S. this summer, the record heat, and across Europe. In fact, tonight in France, wildfires are raging amid this record heat. The sky filled with flames in southwest France, fueled by the worst drought on record. 10,000 people have now been evacuated. All of this as Europe suffers its recurring heat waves now that have taken more than 1,000 lives this summer. Our chief meteorologist, Ginger Z, reporting from France tonight.
Tonight, firefighters from across Europe converging on southwestern France to fight a fire that authorities are calling a monster. About 10,000 people forced from their homes, some of those homes already gutted.
Le feu se propageant de nuit.
This fire official saying the flames arrived very violently and very quickly.
The explosive fire growth coming after the driest July on record and France's fourth intense heat wave since May. Blistering heat plaguing Europe all summer, killing more than 1,000 people in Portugal and Spain alone. More than 60% of the continent now experiencing drought, all amplified by our changing and warming climate.
The plume of smoke visible from space. Both smoke and flames threatening to damage the Bordeaux region's famed wine grapes.
Endless rows of these scorched forests, and we know now that this fire was started by the smolderings of the fire that was 3 weeks ago that had more than 40,000 people evacuated. This is a region in France that has just been tortured by epic wildfires this year. So far in 2022, more than 141,000 acres of French countryside have been scorched in wildfires. That is nearly six times the amount they see in a normal year. There's a ton of activity happening tonight as we watch these flames on the sides of the roads. Germany, Poland, countries all over Europe have sent in firefighters to help as this thing has ballooned to more than 18,000 acres. And unfortunately, David, conditions tomorrow look just as difficult, and through the rest of summer, it should be hot and dry.
Just an incredible summer there as well. Ginger, thank you. We turn now to Afghanistan, and as we prepare to mark 1 year since that chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, the Taliban now fully in control, and our chief foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, tonight, back on the ground there and reporting in today on what he has seen already.
David, on one level, the city looks similar to this time last year, but if you look again, today, the troops driving around in those pickups, some of them carrying American-made weapons, are the Taliban. And it's clear that a little over a week since Al-Qaeda's leader was taken out here in a US drone strike, that the terrorists have a safe haven again, although the Taliban's insisting that Afghanistan won't be used to plot attacks on America. Afghanistan has become this country of broken promises and lost dreams. Girls unable to finish their high school education, women forced to live life behind the veil, and over 90% of the population lacking reliable access to food. Some aid agencies are warning that the humanitarian crisis here could now kill far more Afghans than the past 20 years of war. David?
Well, Ian Pannell, who is now our chief foreign correspondent, leading our coverage there in Afghanistan 1 year later. Ian, thank you. Meantime, back here at home tonight and to the economy, your money, 24 hours after that new report showing inflation easing ever so slightly. Gas now falling below $4 in this country. You'll remember that record high over $5 back in June. Today, a gallon of gas now averaging $3.99 nationwide, down 7.7% in July. The price has now fallen for 58 straight days. We hope it keeps falling. When we come back here tonight, new developments in the search for that missing 16-year-old girl vanishing near Lake Tahoe, what we've learned. And what the CDC said today about children and COVID and going back to school, what they changed in a moment.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC. Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Tonight, the search intensifying for the California teenager missing from near Lake Tahoe. Crews working by land, lake, and air looking for 16-year-old Kylie Rodney. Last seen on surveillance camera visiting a local business before going to a party. Her best friend saying she was with Kylie for the entire party, but that she appeared too intoxicated to drive home. Her car is missing, the phone not working. Kylie's father tonight begging the community for help. Meantime, the CDC tonight easing guidelines for Americans exposed to COVID while acknowledging the virus is here to stay. Health officials say there is no need to quarantine after COVID exposure now, even if you're unvaccinated, unless you start to develop symptoms yourself. Although you should still wear a mask for 10 days and get tested 5 days after that exposure. The CDC also saying the test to stay in school policy is no longer necessary, allowing children to remain in class if exposed to COVID with no symptoms. Health officials pointing to vaccines, a focus on indoor ventilation and the availability of treatments. Well, to the index of other news, dozens hurt in that roller coaster accident at Legoland in Germany outside Munich. More than 30 people on the Fire Dragon roller coaster were hurt when two trains collided. Two victims were seriously hurt. Passengers have been treated for cuts and bruises from the accident. A note before we go tonight, the NBA honoring the late Bill Russell. His number 6 permanently retired league-wide, first time in the NBA. An 11-time NBA champion with the Celtics, a civil rights pioneer, he died last month at 88. This upcoming season, every court will display Russell's number 6. What an honor. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.